Welcome to You Betcha She Did. Today, we're diving into the story of Emily Fell, who's all about shaking things up and building big dreams for autistic adults. You know, we often get caught up in the tales of women who've already made it big or are halfway there, but what about those starting out? Well, Emily's here to show us that journeys, their journeys, the people who are just beginning, are just as vital. Emily's on a mission to open doors for autistic adults, paving the way for more housing and career training opportunities. She is a superhero for inclusivity, taking on the world's norms and fighting for a fair shot for everybody. Emily's story proves that dreams don't have to have an expiration date and that even the smallest voice can make a big impact. Ready to be inspired? Let's dive in. Did she really do that? You betcha she did. Hello and welcome back to another episode of You Betcha She Did, the podcast where women entrepreneurs, changemakers, and leaders, especially from the Midwest, share their wit and wisdom. I'm your host, Raina Rakicki. And today in the studio, I have Emily Fell. She is the CEO of Website Designs That Shine, but also she is on a mission to help adults with autism. And that is what we're going to dive into today. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So Emily is a fellow Wisconsinite from the Milwaukee area. And Emily, let's just dive in with you sharing your personal journey and experiences, you know, as a single mom of an autistic daughter, and what led you to this goal of creating careers and affordable housing for autistic individuals.
All right. Well, I was a stay-at-home mom / teacher back in the day. So picture this, like my first daughter passed away back in 2008 from a fatal birth defect. And then I got pregnant again in 2010. And then my second, that same daughter ends up in the NICU after I find out that she has an adverse reaction to a vaccine. Like I find this out like way later. Then at the NICU, she got another vaccine, the same one, but another dose of it because they didn't talk and because it was at a different hospital. So that's like stressful already, you know, first, you know, a daughter that passed away and then a daughter end up in the NICU. So fast forward a little bit, she ends up in birth to three. She has in-home therapy. She has school, like part-time school, part-time therapy, or full-time school, but it's at the special autism school that does it like ABA therapy version of it.
Yeah, I'm just going to interrupt for a second. Did you know right away that she was autistic, or that's something you found out after a couple of years?
She had some developmental delays, and then after she got vaccinated again, she stopped. Her delays kept happening. Like, so she stopped talking, and then she was diagnosed at age 2.5.
Okay.
So I kind of had some inklings. And then all in this hot mix of autism stuff.
Right, figuring everything out. Yeah, super hard.
Yeah, very hard. And then I got divorced. So, like, you know, add that to the craziness. So then I became a single mom. So then I had to work. So trying to be a single mom working with a kid with a disability plus another kid, it was tough. It's gotten easier and better. I would have to say that, definitely for sure. But when she got diagnosed at age about 2.5, I was like, you know what? My mission in life is to start a center at first I thought I was going to do like for kids, but then as you know, I learn more and find out more, that the kids are pretty much well served. We have to think ahead, like as moms, like when I'm gone, he'll be sad, of course, when I'm, you know, old and dead and gone and stuff. But my daughter, you know, to plan for the worst case scenario, I want to make sure that everything is in place for her. So like housing, I mean, she can live with me if she wants, but I would like her to have a place to live eventually. Career training, like my reasoning behind the career training being added to the center that I want is because back in the day, people, I won't name any names, but people thought that because she's nonverbal, she won't amount to anything. She won't be able to have a career options like, you know, typical people like us, you know, like, so she's musical. She loves music. So she will be fine. I'm not worried about that part.
Let's circle back to that because, you know, you've obviously experienced the system. You know, being a mom to a child who has autistic tendencies and what that's like as a parent and then for your daughter. So then looking to the future, like you said, when she's older and could be independent, what specific challenges have you encountered? You know, like what's currently out there? Does anything exist for autistic individuals in terms of housing and career paths?
So there are places already. And some schools, like the school district that she's in now, Greendale School District, it's really good. They have a great, like, after 18 kind of transition program. That I'm not worried about. That, like, she can use if she wants to. And then, or if we, you know, if we don't have this in place already. And I have a name picked out for my center. It's called Amazing Grace. So, because her name is Grace. So, there are places already that exist and are in the works of becoming housing and, like, career training. I think, like, there's a couple that are more focused on other things. And, like, they have, like, housing as the main thing. And then they're focused on other things.
So, where do the gaps begin? Like, where you're like, this is why I need to fulfill my mission of supplying autistic housing and career paths.
So, the main reason is there's not enough. Okay, so, like, even right now, with the adults that are adults right now with autism or disabilities or neurodivergence, whatever you want to call it, there's not enough for them right now. And now, like, in 5 years, there's going to be even more. So there's no way we're going to have enough if people don't start building more. So that's my mission, is to make sure there's more. I mean, I don't know if there ever will be enough, but that's my goal, is to make enough, especially at least for my daughter in the Milwaukee area or wherever it happens to land. And so that's the main reason. But the more, like, kind of more specific reason is we want, like, all kids to have, or adults to have, a place to be. Ugh, there's so many things that go into this right now. There's so many moving parts, but there's not enough, the supply versus demand. And then just making sure kids now and adults later will have a place to be.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, also feel valued, be part of the community.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So kind of going off of that, you know, you were talking before about how often people have this stereotype of neurodivergent kids, autistic kids, where it's like, well, they can't do anything. They can't have a career. And you're trying to re-educate people, right? To say, that's not true. So what kind of steps do you think need to be put in place to ensure autistic adults feel valued and supported in careers?
I think it starts in schools. I think it starts in the schools, like having the teachers be on board. And it's hard for, like, the typical students to be on board too, but actually there's a nonprofit called Good Friends. I don't know if you heard of it. I'm actually good friends with the owner of it, or the co-founder of it. So I talked to her a couple of times, and we're trying to get the schools on board, like the mindset of people. Like, I think just changing people's perspective, and maybe not changing their minds, but at least having them be more aware of it.
Yeah, more open.
So it starts at the schools, but also for the employers, like, we need to start in the community and try and get them more on board with hiring people. I think that's her next step, and I need to talk to her about that more, because she'd be a good ally to have to, like, partner up together. As an autism community, we kind of stick together. And
yeah, no, that makes sense.
We definitely need to do more of that, to give the employers the benefit, like, to see, hey, this kid or this adult will, you know, if you train them right, and we will help you. Well, actually, too, it's something that will benefit you.
Yeah, benefit both parties in the end.
Yeah.
So I know you're just kind of in the initial stages of building Amazing Grace, this home and center for autistic adults. Talk to us about what you have done so far, and then what you're hoping to do next, and maybe ways that the public could get involved if this is something that lights them up.
Definitely. We got to get, like, people, like, excited about this. And I was actually in, I don't know if you're familiar with Pat Miller. He does the Small Business Idea Collective. That's a good networking thing. And so he's in Milwaukee, excuse me. And so I was just talking to people, and I met more people that have kids with autism. Like, oh my gosh, I like knew them, but I didn't know they had kids with autism. So it's just like,
open the world.
Small world. Yeah. Like, whoa. The autism rate is like 1 in 36. So that's a lot.
That is a lot. Like, yeah.
So 1 in 36 kids, people have it. So yeah. If you're living, you should have some connection to autism,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. You probably know someone somewhere through some association. All right. So yeah, what have you got done so far? What's in the works?
I have, back in October, I went to a housing conference in Milwaukee at the Italian Community Center. And they discussed, like, the state of housing in Wisconsin and the USA in general for people with autism, but also, like, other, like, intellectual disabilities as well. And then I got a lot of information, a good, like, starting point, because I didn't know where to start. So that was my starting point to figure out where I wanted to start or how to start. And so then I got some great, like, foundation of how to start. and I met other parents as well. And so they had some good focus and some good input. And actually their kids / adults are older than mine. So I kind of got a head start. So I was very excited for that. And so, cause then hopefully by the time like she's 18, I can have like at least a blueprint and like a location for it and hopefully break ground. And so the housing conference was first back in October. And then I also went to the Founders Day in Milwaukee in Ward 4. I went to just to like meet other founders and then mentors to founders, because it's like being a solopreneur, being the CEO of your own business, it's like a lot of work, but like you wear all the hats like stacked on top of each other. It's stressful, but it's also like so meaningful, but you need to bounce off, ideas off of other people. And so that's what that was. And people that had been through it before and like way ahead of you. And so like just learning so much.
Yeah. Like almost having a mentor, right. To kind of guide you and give advice.
Yeah. It was amazing. The next right step for me is to find my people. And I'm already doing that. This morning I found more people. And so it's just amazing. Like everything is happening the way it's supposed to.
Good. So with all those people, how are you keeping everyone connected? Do you want to do like a newsletter or a website or a Facebook group?
Good question. That's like my brain has been trying to figure that out. And you just kind of like reminded me, hey, I have to keep all these people together. Thank you. I needed that. That bringing me back into like what I needed to do. So thank you. So yeah, I'm thinking, maybe like, cause I wanted to maybe use like social media, maybe like a Patreon group or like Facebook is okay. I guess there's more people on Facebook, but I don't know. I'll have to think about that. I got to ruminate on that one a little bit. So yeah, probably like a newsletter for sure. Email like on a regular basis. And then another like networking opportunity or like community building opportunity kind of thing, because I think it's not necessarily networking, but community building, I think. So yeah, that's my next endeavor on that list too.
Excellent. Building like a cohort of supporters. And then from there, you guys can, really start digging into like, okay, let's find a location for this housing. Let's find an architect. Let's work on funding.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause there's so many moving parts to it. Oh, I wish there was like a book on this. Maybe I'll have to write one.
You never know. Emily, I think you're definitely highlighting, the viewers, the listeners, it's like when you have a passion for an idea and you're so excited about it, but there are a lot of moving pieces and there's a lot of things that have to happen in order to get the ball rolling. But it is important to take that first step, to start doing your research, to start finding your people. And then from there, you can start building the dream that you want to build. How can people get in touch with you if they're interested in joining you with this project?
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. My business's website, Design That Shines.
I was going to say, in the show notes, I can link your LinkedIn and your Facebook and your business website. So yeah, if you want to get in touch with Emily, just check the show notes. You'll find that link directly and you can help her get the ball rolling on this. As always, if you like what you're hearing on You Betcha She Did, don't forget to share the show with a friend, a neighbor, a colleague. Like Emily was saying, 1 in 36 people has autism. So I bet there is someone who definitely needs to hear this episode. Make sure you share it. You don't hold it to yourself. Before we say goodbye, I've got an exciting announcement for you. Next week, we are delving into the world of social media engagement and the power of a small but mighty audience. And guess what? I will be sharing some insider tips from none other than my monetizing tiny audience coach, Ina Coveney. I've been working with her for the past month and a half, and she is a dream. She has tons of tips and great tidbits that I am thrilled to share with you guys. So whether you're looking to boost your online presence or maximize your impact with a smaller following, you won't want to miss next week's episode. Tune in, take notes, and get ready to level up your social media game. See you next week. Attention, You Betcha She Did listeners. If you're like me, you love listening to podcasts, and perhaps you have even thought of starting your own podcast. If that is the case, I would love for you to download my free top 10 podcasting equipment essentials. Here you will find my recommendations for 10 pieces of podcasting equipment that will help you get a podcast up and running smoothly without breaking the bank. That's right. Podcasting does not have to be a super expensive endeavor. It's actually quite affordable and is a great way to elevate your voice, grow your brand, and get your name out there, especially as an expert. Check the show notes for your free podcast top 10 essential equipment guide. You can also go to podcaststartupguide.com.